Hey, everybody. It is Bob Saget. Bob Saget's Here For You is the show. My name's in it. I have to say it. It sounds weird. I'd rather say, hi, it's Bob Saget, and it's Snoop Dogg's Here For You. But that's not what this is. But I wish it was. Hope you're doing good. It's insane time. It's insane in the membrane, insane in the brain. And this is one of those shows where I get to talk to you guys. I love it. I love doing this. Sometimes I have episodes where I have some of my dear friends on it, people that I look up to, people that I can't wait to talk to, I'm interested in because they're so smart and great conversation and hopefully entertaining for you guys as well. I'm not that informative because I don't know very much. I just have gut feelings, you know? I can't wait to just let them out because I'm very gassy. That's not true. This is a gas-free show. There's no gas. That's what's so cool. Here's the deal. So that sounds political. You can subscribe and rate and review the podcast, or you can follow. You can do that on whatever you're listening to it on. And then at the top, it tells you where you can call that number, and I post it on Twitter and Instagram stories of when I'm going to call you guys. And I do it, and I'm going to do it now. I'm going to call some people that reached out and see how they're doing because, you know, that's the theme of what I'm doing here, and it just happened organically, happened before quarantine. I started to want to do this, and then that next thing we knew, COVID was on the rampage, and the podcast board was brought to my home, and I started doing the show from here, and I love it. I love doing it, and I love entertaining people. So I'm going to call somebody named Avery right now. We're just getting right in. Going in. Avery. Which is a great place for birds. Oh, that's an aviary. Damn it. Or there's an ovary, but that's not where birds
Hello?
Go. Avery, Bob Saget here. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. Hey.
You called. I'm calling good. You. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm cool. So I got your thing. It's really nice. Thank you. And you were saying some stuff that you're a fan. You've been listening to my podcast, which makes me really happy. So, and then then you had some interesting stuff to say, and I didn't know what it quite was. So, if you would embellish, it would be great.
Yeah. So, I've been listening every morning on my drive to work to your podcast, and you know, I'm a big fan of Full House. I've watched it ever since I was really little. I'm 23, so you're ancient.
Right. Kidding. Yeah, I'm a chiseled thing. But I am young. I mean, I feel like I'm as relevant as I could be because I don't feel.
No, you're what, 64?
I'm 64. Yeah, you're doing your work.
Yeah, that's my dad's age.
I could so be your dad, but I never knew your mom. But I swear.
If you were gonna call, I wasn't sure, but I was gonna be like, "Hey, I'm your long lost son."
That's hilarious. Yeah, I actually have called someone before, and then they said, "Oh, I'm really sorry, I put my dad on. He doesn't want to be on it." So then we have to edit him out, and that's I kind of stay with the person that called me with passion, like you did. But I have a major question. What area code is this? Where are you?
I am in Indiana, Indianapolis, Indiana.
I love Indianapolis, and you guys have not gone without it trouble this year. It's been a tough go, right, for Indianapolis?
Oh, yeah, it's been rough. And our numbers are actually increasing with COVID, unfortunately. And I think effective today, anybody flying out from Chicago to Indianapolis or coming back from Indianapolis, they have to quarantine for like 14 days or something like that.
Because of Indianapolis for then.
Yeah, just because the numbers are just increasing.
Why do you think they increased? Is it just the nature of it, or did people do less social distancing and kind of ignored what they say we're supposed to do?
Well, I'd probably say they just ignored like wearing a mask and social distancing.
So
Go ahead.
I look at it as being accurate that can keep you from getting it. That's
100%.
I don't know why people don't believe it. You know, I just find it, and I've been saying over and over again, the biggest movies in the world are Avengers and Matrix, and look at all the sci-fi movies, and even Contagion did well, and you know, all these crazy things, and Outbreak, and over the years, and yet they don't believe in the medicine, but that those are the movies that they watch. If you like sci-fi, you believe in this stuff, kind of.
Yeah. So, and right now, it honestly feels like a sci-fi movie.
That's what it is. Yeah. I mean, we're living.
Yeah.
There have been many things like this in the movies over the years. I mean, years ago, before you were born, there was a movie called Andromeda Strain, which was a book, and it was about this. It was exactly about this. And I don't think it was germ warfare. I think it's just something that happened naturally. Well, this was just a damn mistake. You know, this was obviously an insane thing. I was going to say it's bad shit, poorly. Bad shit crazy is what I want to say, but you can't. I mean, I think we're at the time to do jokes about it. I just don't care anymore. No. I saw on TV the other night, it was like, I think it was Colbert, or I don't even know anymore. It might have been, I don't know who it was. It might have been Jimmy Kimmel. Somebody did a joke that was really funny in poor taste, and it was Bill Maher. I don't know, but he was saying that Sizzler has gone broke, which is really sad. They showed the display case, and he said this was the, I might be wrong about this whole thing, but he said this is the our version of the wet market. And, you know, when they showed it, just looking at a bunch of things of slop, it was just, I'm really sad Sizzler's out of business. I actually used to eat there as a kid. Excuse me, all the food's coming up now, the Langostino.
Oh, the starch.
So things are kind of going rough for you right now. They've been kind of difficult.
Going back to what you were asking about, if it was made like a significant difference of social distancing and wearing a mask. My girlfriend's grandma and mom actually just came down with COVID. They got it, and her grandma's in the hospital. Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Her grandma's in the hospital, and she's getting better apparently, but you know, this COVID thing is really tricky. Her mom beat it, so everything's fine with that. But then,
what was the procedure for her mom? What did they do for her mom?
So her mom is eight, or her sorry, her mom. Her mom, she just stayed at home, and she was healthy enough to just go without any like oxygen or anything like that. She just quarantined. And she had like mild symptoms, so that was, you know, thank God for that. But her grandma, she didn't want any like oxygen or anything like that because she's 83 and she's lived her life. And, you know, it's kind of morbid talking like that, but you know, she was just, you know, if anything was gonna get her, she was just ready, you know.
Right.
And but she's actually beating it, which is, you know, remarkable, and I'm happy she is, but
right,
you know,
right. Well, maybe she's like the president. She's immune. You know,
it's
bad. I vowed I didn't want to talk about politics. I do not want to talk about it. So that's not politics.
It's really hard not to.
It's really hard because it shouldn't be politics. It's not a political issue. This is, but it is. It's turned into one.
Yeah.
And that's just sad. You know, we don't want that. We had enough problems, right?
Right. Well,
so anyway.
And I wanted to say that I'm sorry to hear about your sister, you know, your loss for your sister and your mom and all that. I hear you talking about them all the time on your podcast. And, you know, I hope they're in a better place.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Life is just not fair. You know?
No, it's not.
Not fair.
Especially right now. I'm honestly still in shock that you called me back.
No, I'm thrilled to call you back. And what about the grandmother? How is she holding up? She's in the hospital.
Right. As far as I know, she's just regaining her strength and, you know, getting better every day. Now, you know, I'm just trying to be realistic, but, you know, she could pull through. She could walk out of there breathing, you know, just fine and, you know, perfectly healthy. You know, it could just completely take a turn for the worse, and I really hope that doesn't happen. It's just we know almost nothing about this virus.
Right. It's,
I can't say whether she'll get better or she'll get worse.
Are they putting her on the program that the president was on? Are they able to give her those drugs?
She's refusing them is the issue.
Why is she refusing them? Does she not believe in them?
No, it's not that. No. She said that if she walks out of there and she has to be on an oxygen tank for the rest of her life, or if she has to be taken care of for the rest of her life, she doesn't want to put that burden on anybody. And, she lost her husband over 20 years ago. And I think the way she sounds, it sounds like she just wants to be with him again. And
so she's accepting that this is her time.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which there's nothing really you can do besides be there for them once they're in that mentality. But she's getting better, it sounds like, so that's good.
Well, that's good. I hope she's pulls through and doesn't go toward the light and decide it's over, because, I mean, if she can find joy, you know, it's very hard when people... My mom surrendered. My mom had cancer, and they did a colonoscopy, and then they did the endoscopy at the same time. And I got a phone call, and I was working on a TV show, and I found out the news that it was all malignant and everything. And she said, "I'm comfortable with this. I wanna go. I'm not gonna get surgery. I'm not gonna do chemo. I'm not gonna do any of it." She was 89, and she was really cool about it. She kind of was enlightened, and she was amazing for 3 weeks, and she let herself go into hospice, and she was the most evolved she'd ever been in her whole life. And my dad had passed a few years earlier, so it was, she just picked it to be her time. I think she should have lived another 10 years, but she didn't want to go through the pain of it all. And so maybe that's where her grandmother's coming from, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds spot on.
But if she can leave, if she's going to do hospice eventually, then maybe she can come to peace with it. It's so hard. Whatever clergy you need or whatever makes sense, if that's the route. But I'm hoping for life, you know. I can't even get into it, because I think that people that are alive should try to stay alive. And it all comes to politics. So much bullshit, because people... There are people that are proclaiming all this stuff, and they're just using it as a ploy to get their votes. And it's just not what it's about. And to really get the sincere approach of how people feel about actual human life, which is a gift. It is a gift. Even though times are really hard, people are going to lose money. You know, the Great Depression, my dad told me that people jumped out of buildings. You know, they had it. They wanted to die because they had no money. They were never going to come back from it. And that's, it's a crazy thing. It's just crazy.
I really hope it doesn't come to that.
Well, that's up to people to get their mental health together. So that's why think hopefully whatever people are voting for during this next time, just the laws of what money goes to, if there's anything that gives to mental health of the community and homelessness and things like that, that's where you can help people. But are you working? Are you doing your work?
Actually, I'm at work right now, but...
What is the job? Can you tell me what the job is?
Yeah, so I'm a sales representative for this sales place in Indy. I pretty much, it's a third-party sales company for Jack Link's jerky and stuff like that, so I go to
anything jerky-related, I'm in. You know, just the word alone.
I got a couple people saying, you have my sausages? I'm like, I got one big one right here for you.
There you go. Or you can tell them it's a fest. It's a sausage fest. It's a potpourri of peen. Well, I can't thank you enough for calling. Have a good one, man. I'm gonna talk to you hopefully soon. Take it easy, man.
All right. Yeah.
Thanks. That was Avery. That's a nice person. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. I am calling Matt.
Good afternoon. This is Matt.
Matt, Bob Saget, how are you?
I'm doing real well.
So what's cooking in your life? Are you hanging in okay? Are you coveting? Are you not coveting?
Nope.
Are you coveting your neighbor's wife? Are you quarantining?
I am not doing that, no.
I'm not coveting my neighbor's wife. Are you? And that's an interesting thing, you know? That's like if we just paid attention to the Ten Commandments, would anybody listen? I think humanity is so flawed. I mean, they're not following the Constitution. They're finding loopholes. I mean, you got to find loopholes in the Constitution. I mean, where are we at?
Yeah, I think everybody's looking for a way out somewhere, I think.
Yeah, and I can't talk politics right now. I've, like, had it, but I still can't help.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, no, it's everywhere you want it. Everywhere you don't want it to be, and it comes up even in innocent conversation. And no, I'm like you.
It starts anger, and
yes.
Sometimes I'll do it with my wife. And I mean, forget that. That's a separate subject. But sometimes I'll do it with my wife. But actually, she was out of town, so she had to take a COVID test, and then she wanted to keep me safe, so she went in the other room. And I'm like, I don't care about getting it if I'm not going to get it. I need it. I need not COVID. I need you, honey, dear,
sure.
Honey lamb. I'm not saying that to you, Matt. But so now what's going on? You know, you mentioned a dumpster fire, you know, all the stuff. I guess you're quoting my friend Jake Tapper, who said it was a dumpster fire inside a thing. And that goes political. Is that where, because dumpster fire would not be trending otherwise. Is that what the reference was?
I've just heard that around. It just seems, you know, everything's, I don't know. I guess I've got a little different perspective on it than maybe a lot of people do. And I just wanted to maybe call in and just shed a little, I don't know, just talk things to someone different. Maybe that's looking at it different, but, you know, 2020 has been weird. I've been working from home since March, which, and then I got laid off in, April and May. And then they brought me back on.
What kind of job?
I work at a automotive lighting supplier. So when
that's cool. So you'll trick out a car?
We don't. Well, we're the OEM supplier, so we supply the lights that the original manufacturer is putting on.
I see.
So we supply all the major automotive suppliers. So when everything shut down, that really hit our business hard because we weren't selling anything.
Right.
So took a little time off, unexpected time off there. But came back and, like I said, I've been working at home since then, and, it's been different, but all, you know, for everything, it seems like, I don't know, I guess the way I look at it and I'm very blessed. I mean, you know, my situation is probably different than a lot of people. So maybe I'm looking at it through rose colored glasses, but, I've been able to do a lot of things in this time that I've never either done before, or I've just had opportunities that have come up. And, I don't know, 2020 started off, you know, it was pretty normal up till March. And
yeah. And then the fucking bats came out.
Sure did. And man, I've met some like really awesome people this year and stayed in touch with them. And
yeah,
you know, things are,
it's a reboot.
Oh, go ahead.
No, it's same thing. I have found that I've reached out to people I haven't talked to in a while. I'm helping people I haven't helped. We're wanting to be connected because everybody's going through stuff. Their kids are going through stuff. Their parents are going through stuff. I talked to someone on this very show where a guy's girlfriend's grandmother has COVID and she doesn't want to live. She doesn't want the medicine. She's just done. Mm. She wants to be with her husband and he ain't around. So that's, you know,
heavy.
It's all heavy. And then we look for what you're saying is positive, and that's what I'm trying to do. And I think all of us are trying to do it. And I always call it failing upward, where through this hard time, not having a job, being in debt, all the stuff that's happening, sick people arguing with you over a mask, and it's like, what? But I just think we're rebooting relationships, and I'm calling people I haven't heard from. It just means so much to me. And then, because we're alive, and if you separate yourself off and don't talk to anybody, it's very painful. And that's yep. one of the reasons why this podcast means so much to me. It's really wonderful.
It's really great. I didn't know you had the podcast until I listened to your most recent visit with Joe Rogan.
And yeah, he's amazing. He really is.
He seems like a really great guy. And I've followed you since I was a kid, you know, when you're on Full, you know, I hate to bring up Full House stuff, but, you know, that's where I learned about you. And then,
The stand up, you probably figured that out when people started yep. saying, you got to see what a dirty bastard he is, but I'm not, I'm just a guy that does what he thinks is funny, but sometimes they go too far. But
I think it's funny. Dick and fart jokes are always funny.
I think so. And what's one without the other? I mean, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. That kind of stuff. It never gets old.
This will sound like dice. There's nothing more romantic than finishing having sex and just letting out a loud fart. You know, some people want to have a smoke after sex. I just want smoke to come out of me. I don't care. And my wife, I mean, if your partner has COVID, it's kind of good. They can't smell, but you really shouldn't be having, I don't think you should be having sex with them if they got a fever and COVID.
Probably not.
No,
I saw that the service work, if you want to call it that, industry has had to implement some new guidelines.
Yeah, that would be right in there. The CDC would have to put that out. I think if you're with someone and you're having sex and you fart, they are a first responder. And because their eyes open wide and they run for the door. I know I have a good marriage because I'm not going to lie. Once in a while I fart. Most of the time it's because I ate something stupid or I ate something too healthy. When I eat a lot of healthy stuff, you know, broccoli, forget it. You know, Brussels sprouts, it's the recipe. But my wife is so awesome that I will fart in bed and she will just giggle.
Wow.
And she wears,
that's really something.
She's amazing. She wears an eye mask so she can't see the fart, and she wears earplugs because I snore, but she feels the bed rumble. So before we go to bed, I actually say, let's get ready to rumble. It depends on what I ate, you know?
That's hilarious.
So you're doing relatively okay, and it sounds like you have a pretty positive attitude.
I think so. Yeah. You know, I live in Indiana where it's like anything goes. It's like, we've just like decided there is no COVID, it seems, but,
right. Right.
You know, I don't know.
But they do subscribe to, do yes. they have to wear masks and stuff when they go to indoor restaurants?
Or? Yeah. Yes.
Everyone does not. Right.
Yeah. I don't know what the rules are. I just try to, I don't know. I wear one, probably don't wear it as often as I should, but I try to be as responsible as I possibly can.
Right. Right.
But yeah, so yeah, things are going okay. Like I said, I've met some really great people, and, you know, I've got some friends over in Champaign, Illinois.
Right.
That I started to kind of hang out with, first part of the year, actually. And there's a friend of mine, his name's Matt Talbot. He's in the band Hum. I don't know if you've ever heard of those guys. They had a big song in the 90s.
They got a good name.
Yeah, great band, super cool dude. Like I said, he's just got a little bar over there, and he's got... he has musicians, local musicians come in, and he was shut down for a while there and wasn't sure how things were going to go. But he opened back up and, you know, everything's socially distanced and everybody's real respectful. And, he's done some outside stuff. So he's got some music going in the community again. And, I got to meet some really great, area musicians around there that are just fantastic. And,
that's wonderful. So you're getting to not be alone, and you got a positive attitude, and you're reaching out to people. You're reaching out to people from your past.
Yep. I've got a friend that
we go back to kindergarten, and his name's Matt also. So he thought, you know, we had to be friends because of that. And I had lost his number when I had changed, when we had moved, or when I changed phones. And it was just one of those things where neither one of us kind of reached out. And then I got to thinking, I need to talk to this. I hadn't talked to him in probably 6 years.
Right.
And I just started going through a Rolodex that we had, you know, anybody still knows what those are.
Oh yeah, they do.
And somewhere. Yeah, somewhere. Someone's listening. And pulled his name up, and just out of the blue, and you know, anymore you get so many robocalls, I thought, well, he won't answer. But man, he picked right up, and it was like we had just talked a couple weeks ago, and it was great.
It's I've been doing it with all my friends, and having the podcast, I get to do it, which sure. Is sometimes they're hearing it, you know, and seeing it on YouTube on the site.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Look, it's a time. It's and you're, I think it's an awesome thing and inspiring that you're trying to stay positive through it. It's the only way, because everything else you watch is, there's a lot of hate rhetoric and a lot of pain and a lot of pain. So.
And a lot of that stuff, if you see it enough, or you hear it enough, it just kind of starts eating at you, and you start thinking about it all the time.
You become it. You become it.
And, yes.
And it's not going away. I mean, there's a lot of problems to be solved, but it's not going to, there's going to be bad shit happen. We know that. And this disease is not over. And the key is that we don't go nuts and do crazy stuff, and we all survive, the people that do go nuts. So,
right.
Anyway, I better take off, but I really appreciate talking to you. I so much do, Matt, and I wish you the very best.
Well, thanks. This was really cool. I didn't expect it, and it was just one of those, thought I'd take a chance, and
I'm thrilled you did. You sounded like a nice guy. What the hell? So,
well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Gotta stick really together. Cool. Gotta stick together.
Yeah.
And be proud of farting. That's the motto of this. That's the theme of this episode. You know, I bet it'll be in the title, you know. Don't be scared of your farts. Don't be scared.
Everybody farts.
Everybody farts. There's a book, Everybody Poops, but Everybody Farts has not been given enough credence. And I think also, if you fart, certain animals are attracted to that, you know, because it has that smell of really bad beef jerky. So there are cats and dogs and gerbils. That's how they get in there.
Gerbil fart.
Yeah. Well, a gerbil farting is like redundant. It's like it causes a fart, according to what I've heard from some people. That's a good.
I still don't know the logistics of that.
I don't think it's true. But anyway,
can't be
well, man, and have a good one.
Thank
okay.
You. All right. Hey, it was great talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
All right. Take care.
You too. You know, sometimes I'm just glad I don't say ciao. That would be bad. Okay. I'm going to try somebody right now. And this is Christy. Christy. Let's see if she's there. It's nice when people are there. I sometimes leave voicemails just so they can feel like they missed something.
Hello?
Hi, Christy. It's Bob Saget here. How are you?
Hey, Bob Saget. Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
So, Christy, I don't know this area code. Where are you in the world?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio. So I was going to talk about how great Chappelle Summer Camp was.
It was unbelievable. It was crazy. It was the best. And you were at it, right?
I wasn't there when you were there. I was there when Chris Rock was there. And then I came down another time with my sister and got to see Trevor Noah. I was there twice and got to feel the love.
It felt so good. And it was a safe space. You know, I told a couple jokes that Bill, many people, Bill Burr always tells, he wasn't there, but he told me to just go for it because that was a safe space.
Right.
And when I got there, I'm in the back room, and Chappelle and I have been friends for years, and I saw Louis C.K., who obviously always goes on the edge, and Michelle Wolf, who I guess you saw, who's always part of it.
Yeah, Michelle Wolf is hilarious.
She's wonderful. And also Chris Spencer and Chris Tucker. So that's who I was with. So it was a hell of a show. And it was, I got to just do it again and do stand-up and play. And it was love. And Dave Chappelle is one special human being, period. He is just one of the most special people that does it, you know? That
you felt like you were invited to a party.
In his yard. You felt like you were in his
yard. In his yard, and him and his wife took such good care of you, and you felt like you were getting away with something. Like, I was like, as I'm going from, like, circle to circle, I'm like, hee-hee, we're out and about. I can't believe it.
And they took your temperature when you came in, right?
Yep, temperature, gave you the mask.
Lock up the phone. Like, when you lock up the phone because he doesn't want it recorded, because he's just, he took care of everybody, and that's who he is, and that's what comedy can do. And when you get to the level that he's at, that's so loving and one of the biggest comedy stars of all time. And I was with Bill Burr last night, who crushed Saturday Night Live.
He crushed Saturday Night Live,
And we talked about that last night. We were just hanging out. And then with Jeff Ross and Mike Binder, who directed the Comedy Store documentary that's on right now on Showtime. And it was just really special. And I'm very fortunate to have these as my peers in my life. And I'm older than them, but not by a lot. I mean, Dave and I have known each other for 30 years. I don't know. Louis C.K. and I have known each other the same length of time. And boy, the things that people go through and the things that people do and mistakes. And it's just a weird time. And so you were at a place where cancel culture had no place. It wasn't somebody could say, don't say that.
Right.
And I don't think it was reviewed anywhere. I don't think I saw any reviews.
The only thing I saw is we had like a Facebook group of like people, like fans, and we would all just, and again, the review, even about the comedy, it was like just love.
Yeah.
And it was healing. And my dad passed away August 9th. And so my sister
and I. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was, he was with hospice, but my sister came in town.
Right.
And we got to go to a show and laugh and have fun and just forget about life, which has been hard to do.
Yeah.
I wish I could bottle it up. Like, the world needs that.
Well, we'll get back to it. There'll be more of it. I mean, certain people are going out and doing drive-ins and stuff. I don't know if Dave's going to get it ramped up again. I heard rumors, maybe not, probably not, because it really was a 5-month amazing thing.
I did read they applied to like keep going through next summer.
And it would be in Yellow Springs again.
Yep. Which that town is incredible. I mean, it is. You just literally the cornfield of love.
It really was, and I tried some jokes, and I went, oh my god. I'm out here. I'm going to do some jokes. And it is a God-fearing, nice, conservative crowd in a cornfield mixed with people that love edgy, honest comedy and aren't cancel culture people. And so it had a diversity to it. And the comedy and love, they go together. And no one can say that comedy's not healing. It just is.
It's so healing. And then Dave let people sit up on stage. So for the first show with Chris Rock. And I'm like, to my kids who do know you from Full House, but they knew Chris Rock from growing up. So I'm like, I saw Chris Rock.
Right.
You know, like when you have kids, it crosses all, you know, lines. And it's just amazing.
If it wasn't for Adam Sandler, many people would not be known except for R-rated material, you know.
And correct.
And that's wonderful that he brings
and
people together that way.
And my dad loved your comedy. And I knew you from Full House. And I hadn't seen your stand-up. And so that it just makes me so happy to have been watching stand-up and see you cross from Full House or stand-up to Full House to stand-up.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And it's just a gift, you know. I was talking about it last night. Again, I keep talking about it this episode because last night I was with Bill Burr, Mike Binder, who directed the thing, Jeff Ross, and Mike's son. We were just talking about what we're doing and how lucky we are to make people laugh. And even in this time, whatever we're doing, whatever avenues we take to do it, I mean, Bill, Saturday Night Live is the biggest stage you can have, which is awesome. And it's just, it's a gift. It's a gift. And we're just lucky people. And we, all we want to do is work hard. We just want to work hard and be as good as we can be. So,
and connect, because this pandemic, we're not connecting. And so to be able to connect in whatever avenue is what I think everyone needs right now.
That's so true. And a good comedian, comedian, they're all comedians, to be able to really do this, to be able to connect with people, we're all craving it. We're craving right. it as performers because we get to be with people. And the audience is loves it because, yeah, it's like you said, you couldn't believe you were out.
Right. And I, for you as comedians, when I was on stage, I'm like, 400 people, you guys are used to thousands upon thousands. I was wondering how hard that was to perform and to not hear thousands of laughs.
You couldn't.
People with masks on.
Yeah, you couldn't really hear all the laughs because of the masks. But I loved it. And by the way, you know, all of us will go into a room with 15 people right now. Everybody's doing that. They're doing what they can. And Dave in L.A., when things were pre-COVID, he'd go up in the belly room at the Comedy Store, which only seats 75 at best, and he would be doing, you know, 15 people till 3 in the morning, getting his stuff out, you know? And it's just, it doesn't get more special and more pure than playing every size audience. The intimacy of talking to 16 people helps you prepare for something that's so real. If you can talk about it with 3,000 people, you know, it's just, it's real. And so that's how right. you should be talking to large crowds anyway. But if you have a large audience, you move around a lot more. But being on that porch, there was really nowhere to go. You can move a little bit. I wasn't going to walk into the audience.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was just amazing from every avenue and from start to go. And again, you really thought, I mean, I really thought, I'm like, am I going to have to get a secret handshake to get in? Like, how am I so lucky to be a part of this and to see it twice? And I was so ready. But again, to pull the plug just because of people's safety was a testament to them too, you know?
Right. They had to, and it was a very lucky call and a smart call.
Right.
And everybody's okay. That's what was brilliant about it. And that's because of who Dave Chappelle is. And there's another man, Jeff Wills, who works for Live Nation Comedy. And he just, they knew what they were doing. They're incredibly smart. And people's welfare is first in their minds, period.
Right.
And that's why it was a delight. It touched my heart so much. I was really emotional from it. So.
Oh my gosh. Well, to watch, every morning I'd wake up when I wasn't there, like, who was the special guest? What did I miss?
Yeah.
Who was there and trying to guess and trying to figure it out? So the whole anticipation, even when you weren't there, it consumed my energy because I just knew this little pocket of sunshine. And I'm like, what's happening? What's going on? I hope someone's celebrating their anniversary. How fun, you know, because they have the Facebook group too that everyone just shared love too. And you need a pin, I'll buy you a pin, I'll send it to you, you know.
Right.
It's great.
It's so funny because I had Bill Burr over my house. We were smoking cigars one night a week before I went away to do it, and I said, I can't wait to do it, and this is Bill, he's accurate. He went, I crushed there. I said I know you did, how could you not, you're Bill. And
right.
It was so funny. And like, I was texting him last night and he didn't respond. And I just wrote, please stop texting me. And then he wakes up in the morning and I send him an eggplant emoticon, you know, so emoji. I don't know what the hell they are anymore. And
yeah.
And he's just one of the funniest people alive. He just has such an interesting way of doing what he does. He's just, you know, and there's plenty of great comedians and we need them all, you know?
Well, even watching Louis when I was on stage and he had his notebook and he's like, I'm going to try this. And he'd come back and be like, that flop. But in 2 years, trust me, that's going to be a great joke.
That's
And so to even watch, like, feel like you were in his mind.
Yeah, you work
That's fascinating.
You work it from nothing. You work it and you work it and you work it, and then it becomes something. Because if there's a germ of an idea, it can a germ right. can be a gem. Just
oh, that's great! Yeah,
that's a good for Hallmark.
It
a germ
is
can be a gem. Well, that's like saying COVID can be great.
Well, you know, everything has its possibilities of having a positive spin on it. It depends on how you look at it.
Well,
yeah.
I understand Ocean Spray is coming out with bat juice, so I'm really excited about that. It's it's just wet market drainage. See, you can't. I could tell you that because you were at summer camp. So
yeah, I could take it. And that Ocean Spray thing is just. I could sit there and look at TikTok all day.
That guy's trending, and you're not going to get rid of TikTok if that's happening. Things are going to be great.
And Stevie Nicks can just put on roller skates and get 100,000 views. Like, come on!
And Mick Fleetwood's doing it. We've accomplished what we came here to do.
Right. It's like, we're done. I'm like, man. Yeah, amazing. Oh, my gosh. Thank you for calling me, Bob. I love you.
You're an angel. Thank you so much, God. Christy. You're just an angel. And I hope to see you at the show there or when I'm back in the area. Because I was supposed to be in Ohio a bunch. I was supposed to be in Columbus and Cleveland, and I had to cancel them. So that would be in the fall of next year, if all goes well. But I'll be back. I'll be there. So I hope to see you.
So I'm going to. You will. Oh, thanks, Bob, so much.
And we'll take a selfie afterward. It's a prophecy.
I love it. Oh, thanks so much.
You too. Be well. Thank you so much. Well, that's always a good call. And she hung up first, which means she's smart. Well, this has been another interesting episode of Bob Saget's Here For You. I call it interesting because I had so many brain farts. I actually had gas coming out of my ears. What? Don't say that. That's a dad joke. It's not clever. So this is Bob Saget's Here For You, right? And you subscribe and you rate and review, or you can follow it depending on how you get your podcasts. And then look at that number up there and that menu thing. I'll be announcing on Twitter and Instagram Instagram stories, when I'll be calling you guys and doing a show like this. I did say we weren't going to talk about politics. I can't help but go there sometimes because I just end up talking about public health and then it goes there. That's the world at the moment. But it'll change. It's going to get better. I have a very good feeling after this episode that it's going to get better. So I'm basing my belief system on this podcast episode. This is going to change everything. All right. You guys take care of yourselves and try to be positive and try not to watch the news as much and just get little bullet points or don't watch it at all and just watch a lot of the horror things that are on. Just so much horror. There's so much like Annihilation, so many superheroes killing. Euphoria calmed me down after watching the news. Anyway, take care of yourselves, everybody. And I look forward to the next episode so much. Thanks.